Will you join me in prayer? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At the end of my freshman year of college, I set off for upstate New York for the summer backpacking program that my college hosted. And I'd actually had a lot of outdoor experience up to this point. I had done day hiking sections of the Appalachian Trail and rafted down the New River with my family. And I was excited for this new adventure, which was 10 days and nights backpacking in the Adirondacks. Everything we needed for those 10 days, we would carry with us. Pack in, pack out, as they say. And I was excited until we started packing. At the base camp, our guides laid out all of the supplies for those 10 days in the wilderness. And my enthusiasm evaporated with each tent part and Ziploc bag of trail mix that went into this massive bag. Y'all, by the end, I could not lift this bag on my own. Two friends stood on either side of me and helped to hoist this beast onto my back. And then I fell over. And when I read today's gospel lesson, I can still feel the weight of that pack. I can feel the waist strap digging into my hips. And I remember how this bulk behind me just disoriented my footsteps. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down by dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that the day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. I like the King James colorful language here. Take heed of yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. Luke's gospel knows that the cares of this world, the terrors and traumas around us, they choke out good news. And this actually isn't the first time that Jesus has warned the disciples about being weighed down. Earlier in the gospel, Jesus tells the disciples the story about a farmer who is sowing seeds. And some of those seeds fall among thorns, or as I like to imagine this parable, around my nemesis, Creeping Jenny. In my yard, Creeping Jenny threatens to crowd out everything else I plant. It hoards nutrients in the soil, it blocks out the sun. And Jesus tells the disciples that when weeds take hold, there's no room for the little seed of God's reign to grow. Jesus goes on to explain this metaphor. Seeds that fall among weeds are the ones who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked out by cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and the fruit does not mature. And I wonder if you are entering this Advent season with your heart overcharged with worries. I wonder about the weeds of this world that may be choking out the possibility of good news getting through to you. Perhaps you are also feeling like the bank account of your heart is overdrawn. And this is for us, this vibrant, terrifying word from Jesus about stars flung and planets crashing. It was written for us. There is indeed a lot to be troubled by in this chapter of Luke. Actually, just before the part that we read today, Jesus announces that his followers, people in this Jesus life, they'll get thrown into jail. They can anticipate war between nations, ecological disaster. Jesus declares that your own sister will rat you out for joining up with this upstart religious community. And for the gospel writer of Luke, the antidote to worrying about these truly worrisome things isn't distraction. We're cautioned against turning towards these numbing agents as we face the terrors of this world. Jesus actually says this is another weight, another dozen pounds of trail mix in your pack. Instead, Jesus explains that the opposite of being weighed down by worry is to pay more attention. At the outset, this does not make sense to me. I have been a prodigious avoider of news this past month. I'm finding more and more that I just don't want to know. I don't need the details of nations rising up against nation or storms driving people from their homes, breaking apart communities. I feel like I have received enough local, state, and global bad news for a lifetime. But then Jesus describes two very different responses to this terrifying, crushing disruptions that we all live through. First, he describes the people whose hearts are faint with fear as they watch the power of God rain down on earth. But then there is us. Jesus describes how those of us who have entrusted ourselves, our lives, our futures to this Jesus life, how we take in catastrophe. We are to pay attention not to crushing, crashing meteors or frothing seas, Luke's apocalyptic visions, or this cosmic undoing of creation. It's actually hard to miss. You don't need to pay attention to it. Instead, we hear this. When you see these things, you know the kingdom of God is near. You know the kingdom of God is near. Our attention is fixed on the slow unfurling of the kingdom of God. And that doesn't look like stars colliding or tanks rolling. Jesus has another home for the metaphor for this reign of God. Look at the fig tree. All the trees, as soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer's already near. The reign of God is a tree coming to blossom. The reign of God is a green shoot in warm earth pushing up through the soil. The reign of God arrives, inevitable and relentless, into the spring air. The Gospel of Luke redirects our attention, the attention of all of us, to the ground. If we're going to find out where the kingdom of God is, we'll need to get right down on the ground with our faces on the soil. We'll watch as God's kingdom pushes a green stalk into our world. And so I have been trying, in the midst of the world's many catastrophes, to pay attention to people who are on the ground, whose lives announce the reign of God is near. That's been hard to do. And that has been especially hard to do in the West Bank with people I know and love in Palestine. Over the past year, I've watched the news as Israeli settlers have forced out of their land Palestinians who cultivated those places for centuries. I've watched the news of ancient olive trees burning to ash and families raided by armed soldiers in the middle of the night. And it is easy to be overwhelmed, to have my heart faint with fear for my friends. I can sense the weight, the heavy weight against my back. And it's easy to turn away, to switch off. And then I remember Jesus telling me to look at the ground, to peer close to the earth. And here's what I see. It is Sabbath, and a group of Muslims is finishing praying. Nearby, a group of Jews is ending Shabbat with a blessing. And after these prayers, the two groups gather together on a plastic mat laid out on the ground where they've brought enough food for a picnic. Then someone builds a fire and they roast marshmallows. They have come to sit in vigil and solidarity with Alice Kasia. Alice is a Palestinian Christian, and she and her family were forced out of their ancestral land by armed Israeli settlers backed by the Israeli Defense Force. These land grabs have become a regular occurrence under the right-wing government of Benjamin Netanyahu. After settlers forced her to leave her land, Alice continued to keep vigil, first in a tent near the site, and later she rented an apartment after she was attacked by settlers when she was getting into her car. But it didn't take long for Alice to find out she wasn't alone. Other people learned about the land steal and joined her in sitting vigil. Muslims and Jews also believed in justice for the Kasia family. On the night they gathered, soldiers actually drove up to disrupt their gathering, but left after they were completely disoriented by Muslims, Jews, and Christians sitting together and sharing a meal. They were just overwhelmed by what they saw. A few months after this picnic, the same group with others returned. And near Alice's family land, they built this church, a church called Church of All Nations, that could be utilized for worship by Muslims or Jews or Christians. 2 days later, soldiers appeared with an excavator and bulldozed it to the ground. I listened to an interview about her activism. And Alice told this reporter this. My parents taught me a lot about how to be strong and how not to lose hope. And that by following Jesus' teachings, we can overcome evil. Alice's plan is to work with this interfaith group to rebuild the church. And this time she'll include a large bell. And she will regularly ring the bell to remind settlers on her family's land that she is still there. In the terror of these days, we live between two realities: the coming of Jesus into the world and the redemption of all things. Advent, this season of watching and waiting, reminds us to stay close to the ground. There is so much fear in the world, so much pain, so much terror. And Jesus asks us, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Something terrible to happen? Another atrocity? Another political disaster? These are signs, Jesus tells us, his worried disciples. But this isn't the real business of God's work. To find the reign of God, we get close to the ground. We watch and wait for the seed of good news to unfurl with slow and steady wonder before our eyes. Amen.